Greetings again, Lenten pilgrims, on our way to Jerusalem. Today is March 21st. It's our 33rd episode in our Lenten Daily Devotion series, and it's the Sabbath, the fifth Sunday of Lent. So on Sundays, we begin new themes in our Lenten Daily Devotion. So this week's theme is going to be Significant Changes Happen. Significant changes happen. That's a matter of faith. Amen. So we're going to hear a little scripture verse. Get some comments from Mary Alice Mulligan's book, Go to Jerusalem, her Lenten devotion. We've got a kind of a big chunk of reflective stuff today. So we'll spend a little more time on that and a little less on the commentary. We've got another wonderful Mary Oliver poem ready for you. And we'll close with a prayer. So in the background, you're hearing the Dance of Life meditation music. For the scent in this room I'm in, we have the Cerulean Surf and Sea White Candle. Are you catching the vibe now? And we've got the secret weapon. Ah, that's the kava tea with a splash of milk. Nothing beats it. Amen. We're going to turn now to the Gospel of John and go to chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. John 12, verses 20 through 33. So what's happened in chapter 12 so far is that Jesus began chapter 12 in Bethany. That's where he commuted, at least for a few days, during Holy Week. Of course, nobody knew it was Holy Week then, but he stayed in Bethany with his friends, including Mary and Martha some. Then he walked in to Jerusalem on that holiest of Palm Sundays and was greeted with a large crowd waving palm leaves and shouting great things to him. So he had that triumphal entry. And then we get like a little sidebar of something that's going on in the town that day that a lot of people wouldn't have known about, right? And it's got to do with some Greeks who want to meet Jesus. So that's what this is about. John 12, verses 20 through 33. Let's invite God into the reading of his word. Amen. Some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem to attend the Passover, paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. They said, "Sir, we want to meet Jesus." Philip told Andrew about it, and they went together to ask Jesus. Jesus replied, "The time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. The truth is, a kernel of wheat must be planted in the soil. Unless it dies, it will be alone, a single seed. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who despise their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. All those who want to become my disciples must come and follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And if they follow me, the Father will honor them. Now my soul is deeply troubled. Should I pray, 'Father, save me from what lies ahead?' But that is the very reason why I came. Father, bring glory to your name." Then a voice spoke from heaven, saying, "I have already brought it glory, and I will do it again. When the crowd heard the voice, some thought it was thunder, while others declared an angel had spoken to them. Then Jesus told them, "The voice was for your benefit, not mine. The time of judgment for the world has come, when the prince of this world will be cast out. And when I am lifted up on the cross, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this to indicate how he was going to die. Mary Alice Mulligan comments in this way about our text. She says, "Many scholars lean toward the opinion that the people asking to see Jesus were not Jewish. A Gentile request would be shocking. Philip was so flummoxed, he checked it out with Andrew before approaching Jesus. Opening the good news to Gentiles is an extraordinary change. Like a grain of wheat appearing to die, so it will bear fruit. The message of Jesus is facing a dramatic new juncture. So much so that even the divine voice is raised. What would it mean to share God's love with Gentiles?" At the same time, Jesus realizes his hour has come. His arrival in Jerusalem introduces the conclusion of his earthly ministry and life. So if you're making notes with us or keeping a journal or just reflecting mentally as we go through the Lenten daily devotions, here are some thoughts that Mary Alice Mulligan poses for us to think about. She says, "Do you think Jesus sees himself as the grain of wheat? Some seeds fall to the ground and actually do die. Other seeds germinate and sprout, promising tremendous change and fruit resulting. When it comes to a seed or the hearing of the message of Jesus, it can either actually lie there and do nothing, or it can be willing to change dramatically, sprout, grow, become life-giving, bearing fruit for the nourishment of many. This is more than changing hairstyles, friends. It reveals more and more clearly that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Can you write about other changes that occur in Jesus' life? Other changes that occurred in Jesus' life. Someone taught him to speak. Someone taught him to do carpentry. He was taught how to read scripture and apply it to life. Those are changes. Are some changes more significant than others? How might his understanding of God's will for the world have changed through the years? Remember that last verse 32, actually. He says, "And when I am lifted up on the cross, I will draw everyone to myself." How might Jesus' understanding of God's will for the world have changed through the years? As I said, our poetry today comes from Mary Oliver, and we're going to hear the poem, "The Arrowhead." which kind of gets, if you heard or were at the worship today, kind of gets to the idea of what we really own or what we think we own. And just because we possess it, does that mean we own it? See if you can pick up kind of where Mary Oliver's going. So, The Arrowhead by Mary Oliver. I'll read it through twice. The arrowhead, which I found beside the river, was glittering and pointed. I picked it up and said, "Now it's mine." I thought of showing it to friends. I thought of putting it, such an imposing trinket, in a little box on my desk. Halfway home, past the cut fields, the old ghost stood under the hickories. "I would rather drink the wind," he said. "I would rather eat mud and die than steal as you steal, than lie as you still lie." The Arrowhead by Mary Oliver. The arrowhead, which I found beside the river, was glittering and pointed. I picked it up and said, "Now it's mine." I thought of showing it to friends. I thought of putting it, such an imposing trinket, in a little box on my desk. Halfway home, past the cut fields, the old ghost stood under the hickories. "I would rather drink the wind," he said. "I would rather eat mud and die than steal as you still steal, than lie as you still lie." Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, self-giving Savior, throughout your brief life you changed and grew. Help us not be afraid of change in our faith. Amen.